Sounds to me like I can hear myself.
Can you hear me out there?
All right. Well, Gloria, glad you came. Would you say amen? We're going to get started here. They were singing that song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." That's what I promised the Lord when He called me to preach. Lord, where You lead me, I will follow. When I got married, I promised her, "What she feeds me, I will swallow." And that has been a wonderful, successful commitment all these 53 years of marriage. I sure am glad that you're here. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Let's say that together. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you can't rejoice, you need to get your rejoicer fixed this morning. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you have a cause to rejoice today. In fact, I think we all ought to be rejoicing. In fact, we're commanded in the Word of God to rejoice. He says, rejoice. And I say unto you, rejoice. We're the only one in the world that's got anything to rejoice over. Because what God's done for us is for all of eternity. Well, come December, that will be my 54th anniversary of preaching. I've preached several thousand messages on all of those years. And I'm grateful that God called me to put me in the ministry. For 46 years, I was a pastor. And where I go to preach, usually preachers say, well, Brother Barton is here. He's preached more than 50 years. And he pastored churches for 46 years, which means one thing, that I'm an old man. I'm not as young looking as Brother Allison is over here, but I'm an old man. And it reminds me of the story of the little boy that went to church, and outside the church there was a group of ladies standing there talking. You know how ladies do. And he looked at those ladies, and he began to observe them, and he noticed that there was something different about them. He looked at one, and she had wrinkles all over her face. Time had taken its toll and left inroads on her face. Her hair had turned gray. Her shoulders were stooped over because of the longevity of life. And to make her life more stable, she leaned upon a cane. And the boy looked up at her and asked her a question that no woman of any age wants to have to answer. The little boy says, "Ma'am, how old are you?" And she didn't like that question, just like you ladies wouldn't like it. She looked over her glasses and said, "Young man, I have you to know my age is my business." The little boy looked up at her and says, "Looks like you've been in business a long time." That's my only claim to fame. I've been in business a long time. I don't know how good I've done, but I've kept at it, and I praise the Lord that if the Lord gives me strength and breath, I'm going to keep preaching the beautiful Word of God. Would you open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Sterling, for inviting us here. It's a joy. You got wonderful people, and they're friendly and make you feel welcome and at home when you come here. The people receive you as they do. And thank you, pastors. How many of you are pastors this morning? Would you raise your hand? Or Christian workers? You've taken time out of your busy schedule, and I don't take that for granted. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you mind standing while I read the passage this morning, just out of reverence to the Word of God, if you're physically able? If not, take the liberty to remain seated. Read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, Heavenly Father, would you please lend your blessings to the reading of the Word of God, and now to the expounding of the Word of God that you put upon my heart. Give me liberty of speech. Give me the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me courage as I preach today, and bring to my mind and my mouth the words that you want to have said here today. I pray that you'd keep me from saying anything that I should not say. Help me to say everything that you wanted these people to hear today to meet their needs. And all of us, dear Lord, have needs today, and I pray that they'd be supplied. The pastors, dear Lord, I know that they go through trials and tests of their life, their patience, and I pray, Lord, today that you would encourage them. I pray today that you would draw us closer to you. And God, draw us closer together as believers this morning. May Jesus Christ be exalted in my words today, because that's my intent. And we'll give him the praise and the glory, for we've asked it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. What a joy it is to get to serve the Lord. Those of you that are Christian workers know that it's a blessing to serve God. It ought not be seen like a drudgery or just a duty. It ought to be a delight that we get to serve the Lord. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 12 and verse 26 that if any man serve me, let him follow me. And then he adds, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We're not just out to seek the honor of God, but we ought to desire the honor of God. We want to obey him. And as we obey him and do the things that he's called us to do, he honors us. Dr. Jack Hudson was pastor of the Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the great preachers that I've ever heard, one of the great Christian men that I've ever been around. He was the pastor of the largest church in all of the Carolinas when he was pastor of the Northside Baptist Church. He was an old NASCAR man before I think NASCAR even existed. He would like to race cars. God called him to preach, went to Tennessee Temple, and went back to Charlotte and started a church. And my heart grew under his leadership. Dr. Jack Hudson is famous for this statement. You make much of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. Now the text that I read to you this morning is written to the Corinthian church, a church that is not a perfect church by any means, just like our churches are not perfect. There was a division in these churches. You notice in the preceding verses, those of you that have studied this chapter, he accused them, or he warned them about being carnal-minded at the end of chapter 2. He could not speak unto them as unto spiritual because they were carnal-minded. That meant their thought patterns, not necessarily out in the world, but their thought pattern was based upon the wisdom of man. It was based upon the flesh. It was based upon human reasoning. It was humanism in a nutshell. And he says, you are carnal-minded. You're fleshly-minded. You're not spiritual-minded. And to show that, it resulted in chapter 3, says that some of you are of this person and some of you are another. There was a personality personality admiration among the Corinthian believers. And he tells them this. He says, one waters, another one plants, and one waters, but it is God that gives the increase. So the attention that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church is not based upon Paul, and it's not directed upon Apollos. It is directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God that gives the increase. John says that I must decrease that he might increase. In this passage of Scripture, he begins to tell them in all the situation that they're in, he says this, we are laborers together with God. Now, isn't that wonderful? That we're not in the ministry and laboring just by ourselves, but we're in God's ministry. And he has chosen us just to be instruments that he can use to accomplish his work. As my Father has sent me into the world, even so I send you into the world, he has taught us. We are ambassadors for Christ, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying him in the Great Commission, honoring him in all of our life, and as a result of honoring him, he is going to honor you, as Jack Hudson says, make much of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. Now, there's four things that I want you to see in this passage this morning that I get out of these verses. Paul says we're laborers together with God, we're God's husbandry, and we're God's buildings. And according to the grace of God that is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says, as he writes here, that we're all in the construction business. As Christian laborers, we're all building a lot. Two things that we are in, if we are Christian servants, we are to build our own life. And we're to make sure that our life is in accordance to the Word of God. As I preached one message this week already, it is so important that we have a personal relationship with God. Before we go out to serve others, We got to make sure that our life is right and in harmony with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God to make sure that we ourselves are growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this passage includes more than just building your own life. It means as Christian workers that we are in the ministry of building the lives of other people. Now Jesus Christ said the church belongs to Him, it doesn't belong to the pastor, and it doesn't belong to the charter members, and it doesn't belong to the person that's gone there the longest. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It belongs to Him. And isn't it wonderful that His church, He said, I will build my church. The pastor is not responsible for building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The pastor is responsible for doing those things that are taught in the Word of God and honoring Him. And as we do that, God blesses what we have done. And He adds to what we have done. It is God that gives the increase, and our churches grow and prosper, and the lives of other people grow and prosper because God has done something through us. What a joy it is to pastor a church for 20 years, more than 20 years that you've pastored. And when you pastor that long, you look back and you see kids that have grown up, and now they're having their kids. And it is a blessing to see churches grow and people grow. One of the things that I have missed about the church being a pastor since I've retired is that you go to a church every Sunday and you speak to people you've never seen before and you leave and you're probably never going to see them again. But pastoring a church, you preach every Sunday morning, every Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you sit there and you observe and you watch them grow in the Lord and become mature and go out to serve God. And that is a blessing. So here, this passage of Scripture says, not only are we to watch our lives, but we are to make sure that our lives would be helping those that we are building in other people's lives. He says, I am a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But now I want you to notice, here's point number one. But he says, but take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There is a caution that we should make sure that we have in our life as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the word take heed. We need to take heed because the work that we do is not just some flippant activities that we do. It is a life of ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ that someday every one of us will answer. This passage teaches us that we're going to answer to God how we have built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So right off, he says, take heed. Now that is a warning. That is a caution. As we begin to serve God, we are to be very cautious with our life. Cautions about building. Let us take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now as we think about that particular thing, the message is that we are to do what he said do, not what we said do. Not what we think ought to be done. It's his way. And churches today many churches have strayed away because they're doing what God writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about the reasoning of the world is not God's reason. And some things are, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to the world. But God in wisdom, He has mapped the plan by which we are going to serve Him and we are to take caution. And we take caution because of the importance of it and the sacredness of it and the honor and the trust that God has put upon our lives, putting in our hands the work of the ministry of reconciliation, of being an ambassador for Christ that He's called us to be. Paul offered a caution about the construction business of our lives. We are to take heed how we build upon this foundation. The caution is given to twofold, as I've mentioned. The Scriptures constantly teach us about being cautious about how we live our life. For example, he says in Matthew chapter 6, we're to take heed about giving. Because he says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now, we are to give to the cause of God. But he says, be cautious as you give. Because he says, take heed that you don't just do it for a selfish reason to be seen of men, but to make sure that you do it for the right reason. He says to take heed about your attentiveness to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 4. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. So take heed what you listen to. Take heed where you get your counsel. Take heed to the things that are told you that you incorporate in your life. Isaiah chapter 25 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thee. And in that passage in Isaiah chapter 25, he says, I will praise thee because thy counsels, thy advice, thy instruction to me of old that I have been given is faithfulness and truth. When we follow the advice of God Almighty, we are following the right advice. You know, there's many people out there telling us a lot of things about building lives and building churches that we ought not listen to. He says we take heed. We're going to give an account to the ones that we listen to. So he said, be careful. We're to take heed to the return of Christ, of course. You believe Jesus is coming? Would you say amen? Listen to what the Bible says. Mark chapter 13, 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. We're to live our life on with a caution, because every moment, this might be the moment that the Lord comes. He could come today, in this very moment. He could come. So we are to take heed. We're to take heed to our alertness. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given not only the advice that we hear, but what we hear. He says, take heed to your accountability to the Lord. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. And to Archippus, who was a servant of the Lord, and to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Watch your ministry. You're building your life and your ministry to other people. So there's a caution that we're to take. Secondly, this passage tells us the crux of the ministry of how that we're to build. The very foundation. For no other foundation can lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our whole life and our ministry. We build our life upon Him. We build our church upon Him. He is the ground and pillar of truth. And He says that we're to take heed and make sure that we stand and build upon the right foundation. A lot of things today that people are building, trying to build churches upon, that's going to crumble and fall. But you make much of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you because He's the foundation. And if you don't build upon the right foundation, it's going to be like the Scripture tells us in various places in the New Testament about two men that built a house. One built his house upon a solid foundation. He dug down deep and he got to the rock of the matter and he built his house upon it. There was another man that built a house maybe just as beautiful as the other man's house. But he didn't dig down and get the foundation. He built it upon sand. And the rain came and the wind blew and the floods rose and beat upon the house that was upon the foundation, and it stood. The reason that it stood is because it was upon the right foundation. Then the same wind, the same rain, the same flood beat upon the other house. It looked just as good as the strong man's house. But then he says it fell, and great was the fall of it. Are we to make sure that we are building upon the right foundation? Not on your preaching ability, not on your wisdom as of administration, not on your personality or your gift of gab. You build the church upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make much of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. When I was staffing some of your staff members yesterday and enjoyed the time of fellowship, and we talked about various things in the ministry, and I said, this is what I see among some churches, that some folks go to churches and they think the answer of that church is to become a great preacher. And the preacher, by the way, a man ought to try to do his very best every time he gets in the pulpit. I admit every time I get here I have failed and I've come short of what I wanted to do. But people need something more than a great preacher. You got to be a preacher to faithfulness to the Word of God. But people need somebody in the pulpit that will be a pastor. I believe churches are dying because of the lack of a pastor in their church. But sometimes they never have any relationship with the people. The Bible says that a shepherd knows his sheep. And preachers, if you're going to lead folks and you're going to develop them and you're going to make sure that they are building toward maturity in their life, you got to know them. You got to be out there. You got to know their needs. How in the world can a man come and preach sermons in the pulpit without being out among the people to learn what the problems really are? So here's the foundation. We build it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the crux of the matter. And when you build upon the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always stability there. Stability will replace instability because Jesus is the solid rock. Serenity is replaced with uncertainty if you preach any other thing. Strength is replaced by weakness, and steadfastness is replaced by quitting, and simplicity is replaced with confusion, and status becomes more important than character. Ladies, and well, a few ladies that are in here, and gentlemen, our message is the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that your ministry is making much of Him. This life, there's many foundations. There's the foundation of materialism. I'm grateful that God blessed churches that I pastored. I want to say this not braggadociously. I'm going to give God the glory for all that. I pastored churches for 46 years, and I went to some churches that were in financial difficulty. But it wasn't long after there of preaching and winning souls that the church had all the money that they, I said all the money that they needed. They had money to do the ministry that God sent us to do. You see, as we think about materialism, there at that church, People's Baptist Church is worth $10 million, the builders tell us, the bank tells us, the appraisal tells us. And it's a beautiful edifice, one of the most beautiful auditoriums that I've ever been in. The People's Baptist Church, Greenville, North Carolina. The new pastor remodeled it a couple years ago and is even more beautiful than it has ever been. But the essence of our ministry is not material things. The essence of our ministry is a spiritual part of mankind, of building him and letting him grow in the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not materialism, not selfishness, and not popularity, and not power. The crux of the matter is the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the caution. There's the crux. But then thirdly, in this particular passage, there's the content of the building. Verse 12 and 13 says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, and if you're building, you're going to be one of these works. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble." There's six materials there that he says. There's wood, hay, stubble. Then there's another category, gold and silver and precious stones. Here's the contents of the building. Paul mentioned six different kinds of materials that would be used in building the building, beginning with the quality items like gold, descending to the worthless items like stubble. Quality buildings and temples were constructed with the best materials available, like gold, silver, and precious stones, which would include marble and granite, but shoddy buildings were built with inferior products like wood, hay, and stubble. I served as interim pastor in a church. I won't say where. But God put it upon my heart to go and help them. The pastor had done something bad with another staff member's wife, and they had to leave the ministry. Their families were in the church. It was a very difficult situation. And to go into a situation like that, it was something else. The church had been built upon emotionalism. It's easy to get folks down to the altar sometimes. And listen, if you just count your altar decisions, that does not make a whole lot of difference sometimes. Please forgive me if you disagree. But people can come to the altar on Sunday morning and make a commitment and you won't see them again for 6 months. So it is not a matter of how many you have in the altar on Sunday morning. But somebody could come up and sing one of these tearjerker songs and the altar would be filled with people and crying, and they had tissue boxes everywhere. And listen, I'm not opposed to tissue boxes and I'm not opposed to weeping in the church. Bless God, we need to be weeping more than we have been weeping. But it's not just emotionalism. We build our church upon the solid rock, the foundation of preaching the Word. One Sunday I went to the pulpit, and just before I, Just as I stood up, somebody in the back started to stand up and give a testimony. Well, I was new there, and I said, well, I don't want to be rude and mess this thing up. And so I just stood there. In fact, I sat back down, and they talked and talked and talked. And then somebody else stood up. Well, now listen, y'all may want to run me off this morning, but when I got up there, I said, now listen, when it comes preaching time around here, God's given me the message. He didn't give y'all the message. In preaching time, God gave me the message, and y'all delayed me this morning, but I'm going to give you the whole message that God's given me. I don't matter how long it's going to take, but I'm the messenger here this morning. I didn't mean that to sound arrogant, but I'd studied and I'd prayed and I'd wept and I came to that pulpit to help those folks, and I wasn't about to let them get out of church that morning with just some little emotional testimony. I was going to give them the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is the crux of the matter. The content of the building has to be gold and silver and precious stone. If you're going to build a building of life that will stand, you got to give them the Word of God. Last March, there was a man came to my church. He called me and says, Pastor, I was his former pastor. Brother Butler was his new pastor. He'd already talked to Brother Butler, but I led him to the Lord 20 years ago. And I'd been his pastor for many, many years. And he called and said, I want to talk to you. So he came to my house and says, Pastor, I feel like God is calling me into the ministry to be a preacher. And I don't know what to do. I don't know. I want to be sure. And I kept thinking about his life. He was a highway patrolman. And there was another highway patrolman member of my church that got him coming to church. And when he came on the last Sunday in March of 1995, they got saved that Sunday. And I saw him grow. Was it many years after he got saved, he became a deacon. He was a soul winner. Came to church on visitation. Came on visitation. Went out and won souls. Door knocking. He was doing it faithfully. He lived for God. He was a righteous man. He used his job as a highway patrolman to witness and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We had many law enforcement officers in church as a result of it. That day in March, he came and says, I think God's calling me to preach. And so we had prayer with him, and a few Sundays later, we were at People's Baptist Church, and when the invitation time was given, he went forward and made acknowledgement to the church that God had called him to preach. He went out and put his house on the market to move to California to go to college and moved his wife and his kids, and they're in the ministry. And oh, what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened there is just over the period of 20 years, he was built up because of the preaching of the Word of God. There is the content of the matter. But then we have seen the caution. We have observed the crux, the Lord Jesus, and the content of our message. And then lastly, we see the consequence of our building, the result. Brother Allison mentioned this morning how many missionaries have come out of his church in the 20-some-odd years that he had been there at Madison, Alabama. And I thought about that. Oh, God is bringing the consequence of a faithful ministry and a church that magnifies the Lord Jesus, and they're being built up in maturity, and they're going out to serve God. All the consequence. Verses 14 and 15, if any man's work abide, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's the consequence of the wrong building or of the correct building. The wrong building is that someday when the fire of God's judgment is put upon it, I don't think necessarily this is referring to the beam of judgment seat. I think in this world sometimes our ministries are judged. And some churches that have veered away from the preaching of the Word of God, we see them disintegrate and we see them go down and we see them destroyed. I can mention some churches that in my lifetime, the great churches of America that are now nothing, and some are not even in existence, because they veered away from the things that God used to make them the great churches they were. Oh, but I know other churches where a preacher just stands faithfully in the Word of God, and Sunday morning and Sunday night, faithfully preaching the Word of God. One of the greatest tests I ever had in my ministry is when I went to People's Baptist Church. They'd had a split a few months before I got there. There was nobody that sat down in front. Everybody that was there on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and Sunday night, they all sat in the back. My wife sat on the second row where she sat for 46 years. She was the only one down in front. They were a bunch of scared chickens in the back. They were discouraged. They were frightened. No, I thought about that church for the first 3 years that I was there. I preached sermons just like I preached at Second Baptist Church Festus. It's like I preached in Alabama, and souls get saved, and I would preach and preach and preach, and nothing happened. I couldn't even get a holy grunt. Every now and then, I'd have to come off the pulpit out of the congregation, sit down in the pew and say, "Bless God, that's good preaching, preacher," and then run back up here in the pulpit and say, "Thank you, sir." For 3 years, it was dead. But then, I believe God taught me a lesson. It's nothing you do, and it's not none of your razzmatazz programs that you can initiate. It's just my word that's going to be effective. He taught me a lesson. And so help me. I came out of that 3 year period and I was more committed to preach the Word of God than ever before in my ministry, because it is not us, it is the Lord. One plants and another waters, but it is God that gives the increase. I've been gone from my church almost 5 years now. The youth pastor, he was my youth pastor when I was there then, now the associate pastor to Brother Butler. He texts me on Sunday afternoon and he says, "Pastor, I just wanted you to know that we had 4 adult people saved in church this morning." You know what I text back? I said, "I am so glad, praise the Lord, that people are getting saved. Because of the preaching of the Word of God, it's not us. It's not I, but it's Him. Be a wise master builder. Build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make much of Him. Don't be like the preacher that Glenn and I visited down in the state of Florida 3 years ago on Father's Day. We saw the church and folks thought, boy, this church is a great church where they expound the Scriptures. He's famous for that. So it was on Father's Day and he preached on the faults and failures of fathers. He preached an entire message, and Jesus was not mentioned in the last 20 seconds of his sermon. He mentioned all of these places and all of these quotes of philosophers and politicians and liberal folks, and he put it in movie stars, and every time he would mention one, it would flash up on the screen a picture of those people. But he never mentioned Jesus until the last of his message. And I thought, how? And he never quoted a verse of Scripture in his entire message. And I thought, this church may have a name that it's alive, but oh, if you don't include Jesus, you are missing the mark. God help us to build our own life, to be what we ought to be, and then put ourselves and the Word of God into the life of other people that they might grow and be what God would have them to be. Father, I gave the folks what you gave me, and I pray to you, Lord, that I will not be one that just say, "Hey, we ought to be and do these things," but God, help me to be and do those things. Lord, help us to make sure that our life is going in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God. Bless our churches, Lord. This is a great day to witness, a great day to win souls, a great day to help people, to exhort, which is our responsibility, to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Bless Pastor Allison as he comes to preach later. And God, stir our hearts. When we leave here today, may we say it's been good to be at the Lighthouse Baptist Church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, for His sake and glory. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Amen.